The 82-game preseason is in the books, and it's finally time for the real season. Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SMASH. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code SMASH, only on DraftKings. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Hello, New York Giants fans, and welcome to a new edition of the Valentine's Views podcast here on Big Blue View Radio, part of your SB Nation family of podcasts. I'm your host, Ed Valentine of Big Blue View, and we're coming to you on Monday, January 13th. And the news from the weekend, the biggest news for your New York Giants is that reports are that the Giants will hire Patrick Graham, defensive coordinator for the Miami Dolphins, for that same job with the Giants. A little bit later, we will talk to Justin Heyer of SB Nation's The Finsider, our Miami Dolphins website, with his impressions, his thoughts of Graham and what the Giants are getting in a defensive coordinator. And before we do that, I wanted to talk a little bit about my thoughts on this decision myself. Listen, I understand that people are looking at the fact that this guy coached or was defensive coordinator for the first time a year ago, and that the Miami Dolphins defense was, by most statistical ranks, by most of the numbers that you'll find, was the worst defense in the NFL. I get that. But listen, I think that you kind of have to throw that out the window when it comes to Patrick Graham. Look at the situation that the Dolphins were in. First-year head coach, completely blowing up their roster and rebuilding. Situation where they had a very, very, very young, very poor roster in 2019. Situation where they simply couldn't have been expected to be a really good team. I mean, a couple of the guys who played a fair amount of snaps for the Dolphins in 2019 were former Giant Avery Moss and former Giant defensive tackle John Jenkins, two guys who couldn't make the Giants roster and ended up being guys who played a fair amount of snaps in Miami. That's just an example of the fact that Graham wasn't working with much in Miami. You couldn't really expect him to turn that into a functional, you know, average or better than average defense in one season when he simply had nothing to work with. I know that people look at that resume and they say, oh God, you know, how can he be the guy? How can he be the defensive coordinator? And I'm reminded of the last couple of defensive coordinators that the Giants had. When the Giants hired James Betcher, everyone was excited, and they were excited because of the resume, because of the fact that I think in three of his 4 years as Arizona coordinator, maybe it was all 3 years, Betcher had coached defenses that were in the top 10 in most statistical categories while he was in Arizona. Well, what we found out was really that it was about the players that James Betcher had in Arizona. He had Chandler Jones in Arizona. He had Patrick Peterson in Arizona. He had Calais Campbell in Arizona. He had dominant players across the board. He got Marcus Golden, who had a good year for the Giants in 2019. Marcus Golden before his knee injury. So he had in Arizona tremendous players. Dion Buchanan, who again came to the Giants, you know, as a free agent in the middle of 2019. He had Dion Buchanan when Dion Buchanan was younger and when Dion Buchanan was at his best. Dion Buchanan did okay for the Giants in some areas in 2019 in the few games that he played for New York, but he's not the same player that he was. So what we found out with James Betcher over the 2 years that he was Pat Shurmur's defensive coordinator is really that it wasn't about Betcher's scheme. It wasn't about Betcher being some sort of extraordinary teacher or some sort of extraordinary defensive coach with some sort of you know, reinvent the wheel kind of scheme. It was about the players that played for James Betcher more than anything about Betcher himself. And when I think about that, I think about former Giants defensive coordinator and current Kansas City Chiefs coordinator, Steve Spagnuolo. Spagnuolo, the second time that he was hired by the Giants, was brought in, you know, in, I believe it was Tom Coughlin's last year as head coach of the Giants. He was brought in the hopes that he could bring back some of the success that he had in his first tour with the Giants. And Spagnuolo said, I remember sitting in a press conference with Spags early in the spring, might have been the first time that we got a chance to talk to him. And he said, look, he said, I'm not a miracle worker. He said, coaches are not miracle workers. We can only work with the players that we have and do the best that we can. You know, his point was, it's about the talent. It's about the players. You can't make players, you know, more talented than they are. You can work with them. You can put in your schemes. You can put in, you know, your blitz packages, you can put in your different things. But if players can't execute them, if they don't have the talent to make the plays, then there's nothing that you as a coach can do. You can try to put them in position, but if they don't have the ability to get into position, if they don't have the ability to make the play, if they don't have the ability to do what you're asking them to do, then, you know, then you're going to look bad as a coach, because if you don't have talent, no matter what you do as a coach, it's not going to work. There are certain things that you can do at times to maybe get by, but on a week-to-week, game-to-game basis, play-to-play, over a full season, if you don't have really, really good players, you're going to get exposed as a defense, as an offense, no matter what it is. And so think about what Patrick Graham was working with in Miami. He wasn't working with a whole lot. He didn't have any dominant players on that defensive side of the ball. So I'm inclined to look at it and just throw the statistics out the window. I'm looking at it and thinking, Joe Judge wants guys, he says he wants teachers, not presenters. Am I a little bit concerned about the idea that the Dolphins with Brian Flores, a guy who also came out of Miami like Joe Judge, you know, am I a little concerned that the Dolphins were willing to let Graham make this lateral move? Sure. But Judge and Graham have a relationship, you know, built on a few years working together in New England. So I'm going to, at this point, simply trust that Joe Judge knows what kind of coach Patrick Graham is. Graham did a good job in his 2 years with the Giants on the defensive line, seemed to, in the few times I got to talk to him, seemed to know his stuff, seemed to have a good relationship with players, seemed to have a good idea what he wanted to do with them, what he wanted to get out of them. Obviously, coaching a position, it's a little bit more difficult to judge exactly what, you know, what a coach does, because we don't get to see that work on a day-to-day basis. We don't get to be in the meetings. We don't get to see how they're teaching players. you know, what they're teaching players. We just see the end result on Sunday, and sometimes we don't know if that's simply a result of players not being good enough or, you know, or of them simply not being taught correctly. So it's really difficult at times to judge the work of a position coach. But I'm inclined to look at this hire by Graham or hire of Graham and say, yes, it sounds like a risk, but just because there isn't a long, deep resume of success, and just because his 1 year as a coordinator statistically doesn't look good, I'm not going to look down on this hire or trash this hire. I'm going to be optimistic that Joe Judge knows what kind of head coach or what kind of coordinator Patrick Graham can be, and that Graham will bring the kind of defensive philosophy, the kind of teaching philosophy that Judge wants to install with the Giants. You know, and the other thing, let's talk a little bit about the other two coaches that the Giants have reportedly decided to retain from Pat Shurmur's staff. We saw reports in recent days that Judge will retain wide receivers coach Tyke Tolbert and special teams coordinator Thomas McGahee. And now, if you ask me, I think those are absolutely excellent decisions by Judge. I think that those two gentlemen quite possibly were the best coaches on Pat Shurmur's staff. Thomas McGahee is a really good special teams coach. He's a veteran special teams coach, did an excellent job in Carolina, has done an excellent job with the Giants over two seasons. Seems like a real stand-up guy. Seems like a guy that knows how to reach players, that does a good job adapting to situations. To be really honest with you, looking at the path of Joe Judge as a special teams coordinator, looking at the you look at John Harbaugh, a special teams coordinator who became a head coach, it would not surprise me if somewhere down the line Thomas McGahee begins to get some interest from teams for head coach interviews. The other guy who the Giants decided to keep was wide receivers coach Tyke Tolbert. Now, he's a popular guy. He's an energetic guy. He's a guy who players love to work with, guy who's done this job as wide receivers coach successfully for a number of organizations for the past 15, 16 years, something like that. Another really good decision, you know, by Judge to keep Tyke Tolbert, I thought, and you know, begin to build his coaching staff. Obviously, you know, we're really curious at this point what Judge is going to do for an offensive coordinator, what he's going to do for an offensive line coach. Those are two really critical hires coming up. Hopefully, we'll get some more information on those as the week progresses. Giants fans, right now, let's take a quick break for a word from our sponsors. When we come back, I will be talking with Justin Heyer of the Finsider about the decision to hire Patrick Graham.
Hi, this is Scott Galloway, professor of marketing at NYU Stern School of Business and host of the Prof G Pod. If you don't know me, the New York Times calls me the Howard Stern of business. Kara Swisher, super friggin' insightful, and Elon Musk, an insufferable numbskull. I think we're going to make up. I think we're going to go somewhere and do ketamine together. Each week on my show, the Prop G Pod, we bring you insights from Blue Flame thinkers, including my nemesis, Adam Grant. Super smart guy. My nemesis because he's really good. Or one of our favorite journalists, Fareed Zakaria. Fareed's a total gangster. Not only that, we provide listeners with a markets-driven episode every Monday. We answer our listeners' questions about business, big tech, and career pivots every Wednesday and get to listen to the sweet sound of George Hahn reading our newsletter every Saturday. That's right. The Prop G Pod is in your feeds four times a week. I'm like AOL in the 90s. To resist is futile. Put your hand into a box of cereal. Is it a tasty, sugary snack? Nope. It's the dog.
All right, Giants fans, joining us now is Justin Heyer, staff writer for SB Nation's Miami Dolphins website, The Finsider. And I'm bringing Justin in to talk about the Giants hiring of Patrick Graham as defensive coordinator. Justin, how you doing today?
I'm good, Ed. Thanks for having me.
Hey, thanks for taking a few minutes and talking about Patrick Graham. So this is really interesting to me. This looks like a lateral move for Patrick Graham, going from Brian Flores' staff in Miami to Joe Judge's newly created staff with the Giants. Is this a move that do you have? Well, let me ask you this: any idea why Graham would want to get out of Miami, or why the Dolphins would actually be okay with this?
Yeah, so it's definitely something that fans and media personalities with, you know, around the Dolphins have talked about quite a bit over the past 24 to 48 hours. Come up with a couple of things. First off, Graham is originally from the Northeast. You know, he coached in New England for quite a bit. That's how he knows both Joe Judge and Brian Flores. So it could be wanting to move closer to home base. People have talked about a potential promotion. He called defensive plays for the Dolphins last year, so it wouldn't be necessarily because of that. Maybe he's getting an assistant head coach title. Maybe it's a pay raise. Those are definitely both possibilities. As to why the Dolphins would allow the move, also a couple reasons there. First off is that Flores and Graham, you know, they shared an office together in New England for a number of years, especially when Graham was first hired there. So they're close friends. And if this was a move that, you know, Graham wanted to make for his family or purposes like that, obviously, you know, I don't know them personally, but it seems like they have a close enough relationship where Flores would have that kind of conversation with him. And then beyond that, the Dolphins, as soon as Graham left, immediately hired their secondary coach to that defensive coordinator position. So it seems they had that replacement already set, someone they wanted to keep within the organization, someone they wanted to reward. So maybe they felt that they had the continuity there. They had the someone they felt was an adequate replacement.
So let me ask you this. Obviously, you look at the statistics from the Miami defense. I think 30th in points allowed, 32nd in yards, you know, last in the league. Obviously not impressive, but, you know, so it's sort of, you know, there are Giants fans going, you know, why would we hire this guy considering how bad Miami's defense was? But can you give us an idea why, you know, teams would, you know, why Graham would be a sought after kind of coordinator?
Yeah, you know, I think when evaluating the Dolphins coaching staff, obviously you can't absolve them of all blame, but this Dolphins roster, as everyone around the NFL this year has heard time and time again, was a very depleted roster with regards to talent. There were practice squad guys coming up, there were undrafted free agents, there were guys being picked up virtually off the street. Halfway through the season, even to play all over the team, especially on defense. You saw that in the secondary quite a bit. And so I don't think that you can necessarily take those stats and say, hey, Patrick Graham does not know how to coach the defense because this Dolphins team couldn't stop anyone. First of all, they did get better throughout the year, which I think speaks to his adaptability as a coach and the fact that he took this team with, again, a very depleted roster in terms of talent and managed to create something of a defense there. And, you know, like I mentioned before, he has this relationship with Joe Judge. They coached together in New England. So he obviously knows Graham quite well. I'm sure part of it is Judge wanting to have someone he's comfortable with. And I'm sure part of it is that he sees Graham as someone who is, you know, rising up through the coaching ranks and able to take that, you know, that step and become someone that they could count on to lead the defense. Because Judge, if I'm not mistaken, was a special teams coordinator. So bringing Graham in means he believes that Graham is going to be able to really, you know, own that defense and take care of that side of the ball.
I also wondered, you know, in terms of reasons why Patrick Graham would take this job, if the fact that, you know, Brian Flores, although those guys, you know, he and Graham are friendly and all of that, Brian Flores is a defensive coach. So I also wondered if perhaps, you know, with Joe Judge not having really coached on the defensive side of the ball, maybe if Graham would have more freedom to do precisely what he wants to do with the Giants rather than with the Dolphins.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that, or in fact, I would be very surprised if Flores' fingerprints weren't all over that defense, having, you know, been from the defensive side of the ball himself. I'm sure that's part of it. You know, like I said, he did call, Graham did call plays for the Dolphins, but it probably will be much more his defense, and it's going to be, you know, him bringing, putting his own stamp on a defense. I don't know necessarily if that's the key reason as to why he chose to make that move, but I'm sure that's part of it. You know, I would definitely imagine that a coach is much more likely to be hired and maybe as a head coach in the future if he's really crafted his own defense, although Flores, you know, was hired by the Dolphins after Belichick is really the one who crafts the Patriots defense. But I definitely think that's probably part of it. And, you know, that being said, I think this is a great, you know, great segue into the fact that Flores and Graham very much ran a similar defense as to what they ran in New England. I don't know if that's going to follow through, but if it does, you know, you could definitely expect a very hybrid, very multifaceted defense coming out of New York, where players are asked to do a bunch of different things and where the scheme is different week to week.
That's what I was going to ask you next. Is it really going to be, and I'm not sure it matters that much anymore, to be honest with you, is it 3-4 based? Is it 4-3 based? I mean, does he lean more toward man or zone, or is it just, like you said, a week to week, let's do what we have to do kind of thing?
I think that's, you know, the latter of what you said is definitely Graham's mentality. He was asked that by reporters a couple of times before the season started. What would they run? Would it change? And his answer was a very sort of Belichick-style answer in that he said, we're going to do whatever we have to do to win. In terms of 4-3-3-4, you know, if you watch a lot of the Dolphins games this year, that definitely changes, not only week to week, but even play to play. They, depending on the blitz they want to run, depending on the coverage they want to run, you see guys coming up to the line and dropping back pretty frequently. So in terms of 3-4-4-3, I don't think you'll get a solid answer from him unless he decides to change that going into this year with a new team. Maybe Joe Judge wants to run something specific. But other than that, I would say that you'll definitely see it go back and forth between 3-4 and 4-3. Man and zone, that also changed quite a bit throughout the year. Back and forth depending on who, you know, what team they were playing, what kind of receivers they had, whether, you know, sometimes they had, we had Xavier Howard shadow a particular receiver, but then, you know, not everyone else necessarily had an assigned man. So that I can also see going back and forth. They also, Patrick Graham placed a huge emphasis, and you saw this is one of the reasons the Dolphins have to trade Minkah Fitzpatrick, on moving everyone around position-wise. And Fitzpatrick wasn't necessarily a fan of that, which is part of the reason he was traded to the Steelers. So, you know, the Giants have a guy like Jabril Peppers. So if he's back with the team next year, you can definitely expect someone versatile like that to be playing a bunch of different roles.
Yeah, I was actually going to ask you about the Minkah Fitzpatrick situation, because I see in the comments at Big Blue View and on Twitter, I see comments from people saying, well, he couldn't figure out how to use Minkah Fitzpatrick. And so how good of a coordinator can he be? And the impression that I had is that isn't necessarily the case. The impression that I had is Minkah Fitzpatrick wanted to play one position, not to mention that I really think Minkah Fitzpatrick simply looked at the rebuilding Dolphins and how it's probably going to be a while until that team is where it wants to be. And sort of said, this is just a place I don't want to be. So, I mean, was there really, how did you see the Fitzpatrick-Graham sort of dynamic?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I think it requires, you know, looking at it from a bunch of different lenses. I don't think it's fair to absolve Graham of all responsibility there. I mean, Fitzpatrick was not necessarily a massive difference maker over the first couple of games this year with Miami. And he was, you know, a superstar with the Steelers. I don't necessarily think that's just, you know, he had Patrick Graham before and then he didn't have Patrick Graham and that was the reason. I do think that part of it was definitely that Fitzpatrick wanted to play one position. He wanted to get really good at one position and he wanted to be a star at one position. And I think that part of that is because he felt he'd be most productive that way. That's generally how players get paid the most, when they're a star at one position. And that's not how the Dolphins run things. They don't necessarily say, okay, this one player wants to do this one thing, so we're going to shift the entire defense around. And I think that they're the, you know, Graham is fair to say that, because you know we saw with Eric Rowe, who was a former Patriots cornerback and then came over with the Dolphins this year, was not playing well at cornerback. Graham shifted him over to safety and also had him blanket tight ends most of the time when the Dolphins were going up against formidable tight ends. And Rowe turned into much more than serviceable, into a pretty standout player at that position. So I definitely don't fault Graham for having that stance. I think it's both important to fit the player to the scheme and the scheme to the player, depending on the situation. And I think the last thing you said was also right, in that Fitzpatrick saw this Dolphins team and maybe just didn't feel like he was the right fit to be there anymore, whether it was because of the rebuilding or because he didn't like the style of defense. Like I said, I certainly wouldn't blame all of that or even most of that on Graham. I think the way he, you know, does that that style of shifting around players to see where they fit best and to see how they fit the defense best usually ends up working better for the player and for the scheme.
All right, Justin, thank you very, very much for dropping some Patrick Graham knowledge on us. Giants fans have their fingers crossed that that Joe Judge's first major hire turns out to be the correct one, and that that the performance of the Miami defense doesn't turn out to be the same one that that we get from the Giants in 2020. So thanks again for spending a few minutes with me.
Yeah, of course. Thanks again for having me.
All right, Giants fans, that's our show for today. Thank you for listening. As always, please remember to subscribe to Big Blue View Radio, whether you're a fan of my show or whether you're a fan of the Chris and Joe show with Chris Flum and Joe DeLeon. You know, we hope you support both shows, but if you prefer one to the other, then so be it. You know, we're just glad that you listen to Big Blue View Radio. We're glad that you like our website. We hope that you'll also, you know, check us out at big_blue_view on Instagram. Be sure to follow at Big Blue View on Twitter. Check us out on Facebook, and you know, follow along the website each day as we continue to bring you as much news, information, analysis as we can as Joe Judge begins to fill out his coaching staff and as we begin to build up to the 2020 NFL draft. All right, bye-bye now.